Walking this talk together.
Every hour.
Every day. This is 702.
Let's walk the talk.
9 minutes, it is now past 6 o'clock. The APSA Cape Epic is brought to you by APSA Brave the Untamed. The biggest story, of course, for the day, no doubt, the news from the presidency that he's extended the term of South African Reserve Bank Governor Lesetsha Kganyago for another 5 years. That is effective from this November. He said it will ensure continuity and institutional stability at the Reserve Bank. And we also see the announcement of Dr. Mampo Modise as he's one of his deputies. She's currently the Deputy Director General in the National Treasury and will start her role on the 1st of April 2024 for a term of 5 years. She, of course, replaces former Deputy Governor Kuben Naidu, who resigned in October last year. No doubt that will be one of the conversations we will be having with Thato Mashego, who is the Portfolio Manager at Sanlam Private Wealth, who will be reflecting on the markets with us. And included in that list is the U.S. and the PPI and Fed meeting next week. We always welcome your WhatsApp messages to 072-702-1702, 072-567-1567 throughout the hour. And of course, your calls on 021-446-0567 or 11-883-0702. The setting for the live broadcast this Friday afternoon, I suppose evening already, doesn't feel like it because the sun is still quite high here in Cape Town, is the magnificent Lawrenceford Wine Estate. It's in Somerset West, just on the backdrop of a beautiful range of mountains here in the Cape. It is also the start of the APSA Cape Epic, the prologue starting this coming Sunday. And what a grueling prologue is going to be. They will cover distances of 26 kilometers, those mountain bike riders, climbing about 700 meters in total. It will start here at Lawrenceford Wine Estate and finish here, of course, and it marks the start of the 20th edition of the APSA Cape Epic. We'll be speaking to, amongst others, the executive for marketing operations here at APSA Group, that's Tina Fenta, to talk about the hashtag She Untamed and the support that they continue to offer to the Cape Epic. But let's start with the former captain of the Springboks. In fact, he was the 50th captain of the Springbok rugby union team. He was also the chief executive of the Sharks team for some time. He joins me on the line now because he is the head of an important foundation, Barney's Army, which is going to be supported here at the Cape Epic. John, will you be riding this 8 days of the APSA Cape Epic? Good evening.
Good evening. It's my seventh attempt. So yeah, I've done five. I've attempted six, finished five, and so Sunday is the seventh time I line up on the line. So yeah, we've got a team of 10 riding for Barney's Army and trying to raise some much needed funds for some of our recipients who have been injured through the game of rugby from a spinal cord point of view. So a little bit more motivation, but yeah, I am. They say stupid is as stupid does, but I've done this race more than once, so I'm back again, which probably talks to my IQ rather than anything else.
Oh, well, I mean, the good heart that is contained in that chest of yours, no doubt, too. How grueling is it? I mean, you are a rugby player, and there's a particular physique that comes with that. It is not a physique you associate with mountain bikers, is it?
No, I would say without a shadow of a doubt, I do not fit the mold for mountain biking, but it's quite a popular sport within the ex-rugby players. Some of them are quite athletic. Joel Stransky, Jeremy Thompson, they're riding this year, and they are proper racers, and they cyclists. Myself and Butch James, we are riding together as a team, and then there's Marius Hirta. Brayton Pulse is also back this year, so some of the backline guys probably fit the mold a bit more, but no, when you see me on the starting line of the APSA Cape Epic, it does normally look, to those that don't know, as if I probably am lost. It's not really something for the 120 kilogram frame. So nice and slow up, but at least we go nice and fast down.
No doubt. Let's talk a little bit more about Barney's Army then. You started it in 2012. It all started with a benefit game in Durban. What is the objective behind Barney's Army?
So Barney's Army was, I guess, it was going to be a one-off game where we raised some money and donated it to we had three charities at the time that we wanted to support. Little Village, which was a village that took kids off the streets. Bobby Bear, which was also a safe haven home on the South Coast for sexually abused kids. And then the third recipient was the Chris Berger Peter Jackson Fund, now known as the Players Fund. And that was for people who'd been injured, spinal cord injuries, been paralyzed by the game of rugby, in the process of playing the game. So I've been a trustee of that foundation for a long time, and one of our team of 10 is the CEO, Mark Ritzinger. And so the 10 of us, we've got a Give and Gain page, and we're trying to raise at least 613,000 Rand, which is what it costs for 5 motorized wheelchairs, which is what the need is for our recipients right now. The cool thing is rugby has become safer, and our recipients, the number of recipients have decreased. And hopefully one day, you know, we have no recipients. But for now, there is a need, and we try and help wherever we can.
And how will participating in this year's APSA Cape Epic help you achieve that goal of raising the 613,000 Rand that you need?
Well, again, it's always such a difficult thing. We've had this foundation for almost 14 years, and we've found the generosity of people just incredible, you know, considering how difficult it has been over the last couple of years. And I think the generosity comes down to, I think, the causes and the people that we're helping. And this year is no different. We've got a Give and Gain page, and you can go to Barney's Army's website and find the page, and you can even zap it if you don't understand Give and Gain. And as we sort of promote our entry into this race on Sunday, and we'll sort of give updates on social media around the game, we're hoping that we get closer and closer to that number that allows us to be able to, at the end of this race, hopefully finish with a medal and then be able to deliver some motorized chairs to those that need it.
Let's certainly hope so. John Smith, thank you very much. Former rugby captain for the Springboks and CEO of Sharks. And of course, here to talk to us about the incredible work of Barney's Army. They have about 144,965 Rand on their Give and Gain page. All you have to do is go to their website, which is barneysarmy.co.za. Right at the top, it says click here to support the Players Fund and Barney's Army as they brave the untamed APSA Cape Epic mountain biking race for the greater good. It takes you to a different page, and there you'll have an incredible array of options for you to go and give. It's an important set of foundations and organizations that are supported by Barney's Army, and I'm certainly looking forward to seeing John Smith and the folk in their very tight cycling outfits, I suppose, aloft these bicycles, and of course traversing the more than 600 kilometers of the racing over the next 8 days or so. It is untamed, and there is a hashtag that is supported by APSA this year, which is She Untamed. Joining me now in our studio here at, it is the Team APSA tent, isn't it? Is the executive for marketing operations for APSA Group, Tina Fenter. Tina, a very good evening and welcome to our studio.
Thank you so much, and thank you for being at the Team APSA Zone at the 2024 APSA Cape Epic.
It is a fantastic setting. I mean, we underestimate the amount of logistics and work that goes into supporting the APSA Cape Epic, but also laying all of this out.
Correct. Yes, this is a monster, but it's a monster that we as APSA actually look forward to. And you cannot believe that it's almost 2 decades, you know, that we've been involved in this race that measures all.
Why do you keep on coming back?
So, you know what? It's one of those races and events that if you look at it from an APSA perspective, where it just drives endurance. And if you look at why we find ourselves as South Africa, it's turbulent times. There's a lot of pressure and stuff like that. So APSA looked at this. And from a leadership perspective, from a property perspective, you look at this and you just go, you know, it's the test of the human spirit. And what better way to actually do that by sponsoring major events like this and just driving that kind of narrative and the hope that your story matters throughout all of this, which is in line with our recent brand repositioning.
Absolutely. What I'm most excited about, and I must admit, you not doing it only for this year, you have been very much supporting women riders over the years of the Cape Epic, but there is a particular focus this year with the hashtag She Untamed. What is the campaign and what are you hoping to achieve with it?
So hashtag She Untamed is a women's initiative to drive more women to get onto bicycles and complete, not just start, but complete the APSA Cape Epic. It's something that we kicked off in 2019. COVID hit us a bit as APSA. And then what we did is we said, you know what, let's start focusing on the women and the narrative and just drive that. And it's in line with our whole strategic ambition to just drive transformation, diversity and inclusion in everything that we do and being a force for good, you know, and just pay it forward when we do these kind of sponsorships.
Do we know how many women are participating this year?
It's incredible. So just for Team APSA, so more than a third of our Team APSA, which is 60 teams, are dedicated to, so it's 20 for 20, so it's 20 women, being the 20th edition, so it's 20 teams, so it's 40 incredible women. And then also for the third year going, the Epic Trippers, which is a shorter version, but still a hard version, is dedicated, the first session is dedicated to a field of 40 strong women that's going to take part in this.
That is amazing. Are you part of those teams, Tina?
You know what? I always say is I am what they call as the driving force and the trailblazer, and yes. I absolutely adore what I do and these women and the sisterhood.
Yeah. What has been the uptake like? Because I imagine it has been well received, particularly by women who would have wanted to participate in a magnificent challenge of this nature.
So the uptake has been incredible, because when we looked at this as APSA from 2019, we looked at the optics, and it's very hard because women can start this race that measures all and conquers all, but it's the end part that's not doing that. So in 2023, we had 12 all-women teams, and 2024 is going to be dedicated to 20 all-women teams. So we saw a fundamental increase of over 266% in the take-up of women actually participating in this event.
And that must have put a smile to your heart, surely.
Of course it does. You know what? It's always good, you know, as APSA, when you look at what we're trying to drive, you know, and stories and what it matters, and just driving that narrative to say, like, you know, women are the ground rock of everything that we do. So let's just get them moving forward. So yes, it's
absolutely
always a thing.
A moment ago, Tina, you made reference to how important diversity and promoting empowerment is to APSA. Tell us about ways you do it outside of the APSA Cape Epic.
So it is an interesting one, because what it actually says is, if you look at the race, you know, it's almost like it's an integral part of APSA's DNA, you know, and we believe, you know, that through this, you know, we've gone from strength to strength, and it's also that kind of test that just drives endurance. But at the same time, if you look at APSA and our strategy and our new positioning, you know, it embraces that human-centered kind of approach to banking, as evidenced through our reimagined brand and business proposition.
Which ultimately can only be good for society.
Correct.
And for whole of South Africa,
yes,
isn't it?
Yeah, because if you look at it also, APSA has partnered. So as part of the APSA Cape Epic, there's 6 Give or Gain initiatives that we are driving, and I always refer to them as Give and Gain, because it's a hand up, it's not a hand down.
Yeah.
And two of those initiatives is Qobeka. We, on the 22nd in Stellenbosch, we will be handing over another 100 bicycles, 50 of which will go to young girls. And then also we've got this incredible partnership with I Love Boobies, you know, where we drive that agenda in terms of just, we will do throughout this ride calendar for this year, 1,000 screenings wherever we find ourselves as a brand, you know, just to address that kind of need, you know, that women don't always get the attention.
And it is amazing how, certainly in parts of communities in South Africa where it's low income households, often women-led sort of households, where she has to worry about feeding the child, making sure that they're at school. There are certain things that they should be taking care of that they're not able to, because the resources are so limited. So who do you prioritize? Your child. And you almost forget about your own welfare and your health, which is critical, because in order for you to continue providing for your family, you need to be in a good state.
Yes. Especially if you look at, you know, being, like I say, is through these properties and sponsorships that we drive as corporate, we do look at leaving a lasting legacy. It's such an important thing for us, because the thing is, though, is it's not just about doing a training camp in Cockcliff in KZN. It's leaving, building, uplifting that social kind of community, you know, by leaving a library or financial education. But it's then also through the APSA Cape Epic, when you look at Qobeka and getting children to schools, but then all I Love Boobies and the incredible partnerships that APSA has through this project or this initiative actually just makes our job so much easier. And I think it's just in everybody's kind of best, you know, everybody wants to be good and do good. You know, it's just where do you start? And this is the kind of opportunity that affords us that story.
That's absolutely amazing. Well, my colleague and friend Liesl van der Veste is, and we'll be covering this, of course, for Cape Talk and 702. And she has been singing your praises forever.
Thank you.
And we absolutely understand. All the best with the Absa Cape Epic this year and all the efforts that you put into it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much to Tina. Tina, of course, is the executive for marketing operations at Absa Group. Tina Fenter, talking to us about why Absa continues to be involved with the Cape Epic and the incredible work they're doing around the hashtag SheUntamed. It all starts, of course, on Sunday with a prologue here at Lawrenceford Estate in Somerset West. And then more than 600 kilometers of incredible challenges will be enjoyed by those teams as they make their way back to Stellenbosch, which will finish, of course, on the 24th. It's 24 minutes past six.
The Money Show with Africa Milani.
Africa Milani.
Live from Lawrenceford Wine Estate for the Absa Cape Epic on 702 and Cape Talk. The Money Show.
The Markets.
It's time to look at the markets now. And joining us is Thato Mashego, who's a portfolio manager at Sanlam Private Wealth. And before we speak about the list of items I have in front of me, Thato, it is important to reflect on the very important news shared by the presidency yesterday, where he's extending for a third time the term of the South African Reserve Bank Governor, Lesetša Ganyago. And I imagine especially important in an election year, because we know, regardless of what happens on the 29th of May, we will have this man and his team of deputy governors running the South African Reserve Bank. Good evening.
Well, good evening, Africa. I think you're 100% correct in that the markets want to have that certainty in spite of what the electoral outcome may be. Governor Ganyago has been lauded at a global level for his stewardship of the Reserve Bank, and he's won numerous awards to that effect. And so having him continue is a sign of policy stability and, of course, monetary policy integrity. So the market would be pleased by that, as well as the addition to the to the bank in terms of the new deputy governor joining as well. Mampo Modise coming from Treasury, who has an excellent resume to bring to the job, obviously with Deputy Governor Kuben Naidu having resigned. So very positive in that sense.
And a full circle for her, of course, because she started her career at the Reserve Bank in 2004 as an intern, and now she returns 20 years later as one of the deputy governors, which is incredible. Some important news coming out of Parliament as well pertaining to the new electricity bill. We know that the President indicated, was it three or four State of the Nation addresses ago, that he wants to restructure Eskom and divide it up, if you like, into three different units. And yesterday marked a very important step in attaining some of that objective.
Well, yes, I think it is a positive sign on the path towards structural reform as far as energy is concerned in the country. And the bill was overwhelmingly supported in Parliament. And this does speak to, I think, urgency as far as political actors are concerned in trying to resolve the energy situation in the country. So separating Eskom into generation, you know, transmission, and so on and so forth would bring, I think, a bit more transparency and efficiency to the operations. We have obviously heard concerns around having ownership of generation and transmission within the same entity, and so this brings a bit more competitive pressure and, overall efficiency to the electricity market, which would be beneficial for the country and the economy.
Important meetings taking place next week overseas. Let's start in the US, where the Fed will be meeting, as well as the PPI coming out of the US.
Well, yes, I think the Fed meeting will be quite consequential, not so much in terms of the decision, which everyone expects to be unchanged, but rather in terms of the outlook given by the Fed chair in his commentary. And people will be looking to see if Governor Powell remains with his dovish tone that we've seen recently. Obviously, this kicked off the rally that started last November with the Fed starting to talk more dovishly. But of course, recent inflation prints from CPI and PPI in the U.S. being a bit more elevated. So we're not seeing a gradual glide path down in inflation, which is what the Fed has been looking for. So what that means is the market may have to reprice their rate expectations in the second half of the year. So everyone is waiting with bated breath to see just how the Fed is thinking about inflation at this point in time.
And in Japan, we might see that inflation has likely quickened as the Bank of Japan weighs ditching negative rates.
Indeed, this quite a historical moment for the Bank of Japan. We haven't had a rate increase in Japan since the GFC back in 2007. So Japan, out of all the major economies, has maintained extremely loose monetary policy consistently over the past 15 years or so. But we are starting to see inflation ticking up in Japan, driven by, and this is leading to higher wage settlements. The largest unions in Japan have just concluded their negotiations with major companies, and they've reached a 5.2% wage settlement on average. And this is after 4% last year. These sort of levels of wage increases haven't been seen in Japan for over 30 years. So it's a very strong signal that you're starting to see inflation coming back into an economy that has had deflation for over two decades. And what that means, if we start seeing rate hikes in Japan, obviously the carry trade then has to unwind. And that means it becomes less profitable for people to borrow very cheap money in Japan at negative interest rates and just invest it in treasuries in the U.S. So that trade starts to unwind. So quite consequential from a currency and a treasury's perspective.
Indeed. We'll leave it there, Tato. Thank you very much indeed for your insights and your time this evening. Tato Mashego is the portfolio manager at Sanlam Private Wealth. It does bring the time this Friday evening to 6:30. And this Eyewitness News is brought to you by Khalix. Khalix for the businessman who knows what he wants.
The 20th Absa Cape Epic. Live on The Money Show with Africa Milani on 702 and Cape Talk.
16 minutes now, it is 7:00. In a moment for our Friday file, we'll be reflecting on the incredible business of Chiovita Cyclewear, and to find out what it is that they do that is so unique that makes them the favorite for any and all cyclists, not only here at the Absa Cape Epic, but many, many other grueling events involving cycling, of course, around the world. We welcome your WhatsApp messages throughout the hour on 072-702-1 702-567-1567, particularly if you have cycled the Absa Cape Epic at some point and you'd like to share with the listeners this evening how difficult and grueling but also rewarding and fun this incredible epic really is. Happy to take your WhatsApp messages there. We did receive a message earlier from Diane, who is in Emerentia, saying sadly no water again this evening. Never water at night, Diane suggests on the WhatsApp line. Diane, I have absolutely no idea why Emerentia would be affected only at night when it comes to access to water. If anyone who is a resident of Emerentia has any information as to why this might be the case, do WhatsApp us and obviously we'll share it. No water in Emerentia. Do you have water where you are? WhatsApp us to 072-702-1702, 072-567-1567. It's 14 minutes to 7.
The Money Show.
The Friday File.
The Friday File.
And our guest is Charles Nietling, who is head of marketing for an incredible company who produce and make available these uniforms, as I call them, but they're more than uniforms. They are cycling wear. They are Chiovita. Chiovita meaning life in motion, and this mantra defines definitely the approach to a sport that is always pushing itself to go faster and certainly go further. Charles, as I said, is a head of marketing for Chiovita Cyclewear. Joins us on the line now. Charles, very good evening and welcome to the show.
Good evening. Thanks so much, Africa.
Just to be clear, you yourself will not be participating in the Absa Cape Epic this year. At least you won't be on one of the bicycles. But I believe your CEO is going to be participating in here on Sunday.
Yeah, we're leaving the tough job to our CEO and our one of our executives as well. And then the rest of the team are out here setting up at Lawrenceford, getting ready for 8 days of challenging riding. And for us as a company, obviously also being a partner to this incredible event, just being out here, seeing what all the cyclists are going through, and in our own little way contributing to this incredible sport and this incredible event as well.
And it is beautiful to be out here on a Friday evening, is it not? Because it's almost the calm before the storm. You get to take it all in terms of logistics and infrastructure. Come Sunday, there will be possibly thousands of people here who are consuming this entire space.
Yes, I think it's always interesting to see what a space looks like before and after one of these big events, especially the Cape Epic. The logistics behind it is incredible. There are hundreds and potentially even thousands of people involved behind the scenes to make 800 very brave riders happy over 8 days, and make sure they're safe and they're fed, and from our side make sure they're well kitted and comfortable through these 8 days.
Let's talk about those kits. It all started as a dream, really, I imagine, in Woodstock here in Cape Town. And now you are a multinational organization operating on 5 continents. How did that come about?
So that's one of the nice things that we can now say, that we're basically coming from Woodstock and going to the world. Our headquarters, our manufacturing facility, our warehouse, everything based in Woodstock. And we employ about 250 staff members from all around Cape Town, Mitchell's Plain, even as far as Malmesbury. We've got some staff members traveling from. It's, as you said, it started with a dream and an opportunity to bring something special to the cycling world. Obviously started locally, but with this growth, we've been able to get out to international events, get out to international riders, and as the apparel partner and the merchandise partner to the Epic series, we've essentially now got our foot in the door in, as you said, in 5 different continents, sometimes multiple continents at the same time with these events that we supply. And then obviously the riders themselves that come to South Africa to come and experience our incredible riding, our beautiful scenery and our friendly people, and then taking that kit back home, showing their friends, and before you know it, we get orders from everywhere, not limited to a single country, but just all around the world.
Of course, all of this manufactured in the state-of-the-art facilities right here in Cape Town, which is a good news story on its own. Obviously, I don't want you to share the trade secrets that goes into the technology that you use in designing this kit and producing it. But it does take technology, doesn't it, to produce the kind of quality that you produce?
Oh, definitely. Technology is a big part of our brand. It's a big part of our design process, and it's a big part of our manufacturing process. So everything from 3D modeling on software, where it's in the design phase, looking at what fabrics might do when they're put under load, how they wear in different situations, using everything from a simple pair of scissors all the way to laser cutters, technology is critical. And especially in a field as kind of technology driven as cycling, where essentially grams is what people are interested in, and the saving of grams and a little bit of extra comfort, we have to make sure that our technology kind of can live up to everything that's available internationally.
The 20th edition of the Upsa Cape Epic, of course, is going to be raced over seven stages. It starts with a prologue here at Lawrenceford, where, as I indicated earlier, there will be racing in a distance of 26 kilometres, climbing 700 metres in some way, shape or form. And then stage one happens at Sarensburg in Tulbagh, where they'll travel 88 kilometres, climbing 2,450 metres. And so it goes on until they finish back in Stellenbosch on the 24th, which will be the final stage, covering about 6 to 7 kilometers and 2,000 kilometers of climbing. I've been to a number of the stages in the past editions of the Upsa Cape Epic as a guest and a spectator, not as one of the people who are getting on the bicycle. And I've seen, Charles, what they look like at the end of a stage. So your kit does take a bruising, doesn't it, when it comes to competition of this quality and caliber?
Definitely, and it's part of the brand ethos to just push that little bit further. And you were saying that you've seen what people look like when they come in after a stage, and for a lot of these participants, they really are pushing themselves further than what they've ever been able to do. So that kind of inspiration is what we work towards. We inspire to ride. And then in terms of how they put our kit to the test, one of the best stories that we've heard from the Upsa Cape Epic is actually of the hyenas who essentially cycle at the back of the pack. And they basically bring everyone in a safe cutoff time. And they've been wearing we kit them out every year as well. So our kit is essentially fast enough for the guys at the front who are wearing our unique leaders' jerseys, and all the way at the back to the hyenas who are taking days of 8, 10, sometimes even 12 hours in the saddle. And the stories that we hear from them where our rain jackets have come in as lifesavers, essentially. And then even fashioning jerseys into temporary shade for people who might have been waiting for medical assistance. But yeah, it's incredible to see what our kit does go through. And when it comes back and it's still in one piece, you know that we've managed to make something of very good quality. And getting the feedback from these guys, getting the feedback from them is also incredible. And we then use that to make it better the next year, better the next year, better the next year. That constant drive for improvement.
We should note that there is a mini heat wave, as we call it, coming to parts of the Western Cape over the next few days. Most of the time, they'll be riding under high-level clouds with some wind, particularly in the south-southeasterly direction. So, if nothing else, that kit will be tested from just trying to keep them cool as they try to cover the distances that they do.
And safer from the sun as well. So they're in mind that sun protection factor and all of those things as well. So we get everything from the rain to the heat, and that's why the Epic is the untamed. You can never know what to expect.
Let me ask this as a parting question then, Charles, and I'll let you go back to your beavering team that's working very hard to help with the final prep, of course, ahead of that prologue on Sunday. Chiovita, it means life in motion. How did you come to that name?
So this is actually a story of one of our marketing executives who was set on a certain name and gave the company the name, eventually got a letter from a small town in Italy that said, sorry, you can't use this name. Our town has this name, which drew him to kind of rethink the inspiration behind the brand and behind where they were going at the very start. Eventually came up with this combination of words, and as you said, the meaning of life and motion and living that life in motion always moving forward, constantly on the go, never standing still and never satisfied with just where you are. A beautiful story to a brand that's living that every day, and an inspirational brand to be part of as well.
Sounds like it indeed. Charles, thank you very, very much. Always learning, always testing, always enhancing, and always on the move. And of course, apparel partner, not only to the APSA Cape Epic, but the entirety of the Epic series. To find out more about their product and what they do, you can go to their website, chiovita.co.za. Chiovita spelled C-I-O-V-I-T-A, chiovita.co.za.
Your voice.
Your station. Let's walk the talk.
702.
702.
Well, it's Africa's Untamed Mountain Biking Race. It is back. It's the 20th edition. It starts this Sunday, the 17th of March. It continues, of course, until the 24th of March. Do listen out to your favorite station, as Liesl van der Veste is in. Will be giving us regular updates throughout the duration of it. It's 613 grueling kilometers with 16,850 meters of climbing throughout 8 days of racing. We've been broadcasting live from Laurensford Wine Estate here in Somerset West, where the start of the Cape Epic will be this Sunday. You can find out how APSA is celebrating 20 years of the APSA Cape Epic while empowering women with hashtag SheUntamed20for20. That's the APSA Cape Epic live on The Money Show this evening right here on Cape Talk and 702. Well, the sun is beginning to set into the mountains, and no doubt if you find yourself in the Atlantic seaboard in Cape Town, you'll enjoy a wonderful sunset. And it does bring to an end our live broadcast here. It has been a thrill to see the calm before the storm. 800 cyclists will be taking on the most grueling of tests, so without a doubt, as far as mountain biking racing is concerned. It is Untamed, and it is Africa's very own APSA Cape Epic. Well, the APSA Cape Epic was brought to you by APSA. Visit cape-epic.com today for more information. The APSA Cape Epic, brave the untamed. It's 7 o'clock.